On Wednesday in New York, with a stroke of Governor Andrew Cuomo's pen, it was no longer illegal to consume marijuana recreationally. The change raises many questions for New Yorkers about this brave new world, but it also presents a lot of questions and challenges for employers who may have to adjust their practices. To consider this angle, we spoke Thursday afternoon to Rose Miller, president of Pinnacle Human Resources. Welcome back to the show, Rose.
Thank you for having me today.
Well, it's our pleasure. So if I was an employer, the first question that would come to my mind with the adoption of this legislation is whether I can still test new hires for marijuana consumption. What do you have to say based on the law?
Well, that's a hard one because I've been going through the law and they have not exactly addressed the pre-hire sort of thing. So it depends. And it's going to be, it depends on how they roll this out and whether the New York State DOL weighs in and gives some employer guidance. Right now with illegal drug use, you can screen an applicant, but you, if it's legal and there would be no way an employer could hold it against them if it comes up in their testing because it's not illegal drug use. And you also don't have a measure because you could have a blood alcohol level at your higher test, your pre-higher test, that would demonstrate the person has a problem. But that's not available to an employer at this point on a pre-hire. So the pre-hire question remains a question.
What about for employees who are maybe already working for a business that does, say, regular drug testing? How will they be able to use those testings moving forward? Is it the same issue where they're testing for illegal drugs, or are there some jobs where, you know, marijuana will still be a problem if it's found in a screen?
The way we're approaching the management of recreational marijuana is to refresh all your policies. Look at your policies to make sure that it is updated to include, you know, marijuana use. But to consider it in the same vein as you already had in place your alcohol use. Right now, you have alcohol substance abuse policies that say you cannot have it on premises, you cannot use it during on premises, and that should not change with marijuana. So an employee cannot have marijuana on premises while at work. But further, I would even recommend our clients say to their employees, particularly, and this is addressed in the new law, that an employer can say that you are not to use drug or alcohol during your meal period break, particularly if the industry is one where safety is paramount. You have machinery, you have heavy equipment, you have manual labor. You have a higher incidence of accidents. But you can mirror pretty much all of your policies that you currently have in place with alcohol to be in the same vein as marijuana. And you should also look at your policy on investigations and searches, on-premises searches. You want to make sure you have the availability through policy that you could say that you could look at anything on premises, their purses, their desk drawers, their lockers, because you don't have to allow drug or alcohol on premises.
Are there any recurring questions that you've been receiving from employers in, say, the days or weeks leading up to passage, or, you know, in the 48 hours since the bills came to the floor in the Capitol?
the number one concern that everyone is talking about and all our clients are calling us about is the concern about impairment. This is the big question mark, because as I just mentioned with alcohol, alcohol has a test. We had science that stepped up, gave us a point whatever to measure whether someone was impaired. We do not have that test. How would you know if someone had marijuana recreationally in the morning if they came in impaired? You could advise them that they cannot use marijuana at lunch, but wonder if they do, because, you know, it's in edibles and oils and gummies. How would you know? You can't say, is that a gummy on your breath, right? So there is no test. So how do you know if they're impaired? So in the meantime, until science catches up with this and we have some sort of measure of impairment, we're going to have to be super diligent about, you know, reasonable suspicion, you know, monitoring their work and having an investigation post-accident. That's what we're left with. But that seems to be the number one concern, particularly in industries that have heavy equipment and operating machinery, manufacturing floor. Well, I'll even tell you, even white collar, talking to a CPA group, you know, marijuana usage has been proven to decrease your function in math skills, critical thinking, right? So how would you know if you're a CPA firm that does tax returns? Here is tax season for them, right? And how would you know if they were impaired and doing tax returns? No one knows. So that seems to be the biggest concern.
You're listening to the Capital Press Room, and we're talking about marijuana legalization and its impact on employers around New York. And our guest is Rose Miller, president of Pinnacle Human Resources. Because marijuana still faces federal prohibition, are there ramifications for jobs or employers that might be tied to the federal government, whether it's because they are a federal employer or maybe because they have federal contracts and they might have different rules and regulations than, say, a private employer?
Absolutely. And this is a concern for the companies that do have federal contracts. And they don't know where to turn, because the state legalizing it and it still being illegal on a federal level is making these two things collide. And are you able to prohibit the use of marijuana in your state when you're on a federal contract? The guidance is not clear. Can you prohibit this, even though it's legal in your state, if your contract says, because I've seen these contracts, the federal contracts will clearly state that they have a very clear substance abuse policy, and you have to, as the vendor, certify to those rules. So can you then turn around to your employee and prohibit it when it's, these answers are not clear, and we're all seeking guidance.
Well, when it comes to guidance, I mean, you mentioned early on about the Department of Labor potentially putting out some sort of guidance. Are those sort of answers from the state going to be enough to clarify, you know, potential ambiguity or disagreements that might arise? Or do you see that this legalization is going to end up in court to some degree with some issues that might pop up at businesses needing to be resolved by judges?
Historically, it's a combination of both. The agencies do try to provide guidance for employers, but where they don't provide the guidance and you have those gray areas, the guidance comes from court action and case resolutions and who wins out in the cases. But here's the problem. Most employers don't have the time, energy, or the resources to follow court cases. So they're going to need a lot of help from professionals that track those sort of things, because no one has the time to be dedicated to following these things. And, you know, we would also count on, you know, business groups, industry groups to help employers follow these things and give them and provide them with guidance too.
Because marijuana is legal now, but for so long has been illegal and has a sort of stigma around it, do you think there's going to be just sort of cultural awkwardness in workplaces now, depending on how people view marijuana, if, you know, they're talking about it or if the just subject comes up?
So what I have found is most people have always been on the same page, and this is like a majority of people have always wondered why there was such a taboo with marijuana, that especially if they were a boomer or old, you know, boomers grew up in the 70s where marijuana was everywhere, right? So they know that in terms of its, you know, they've always thought of it as equal to alcohol. You can abuse either one. And alcohol still ends up to be one of the biggest workplace problems. That abuse of alcohol still is number one. We're hoping that marijuana doesn't become number two or number one, because we're already dealing with that, those abuse. And at the end of the day, a good employee will not abuse this. But I don't think there's as much a stigma as people would believe. I think most people were on the same page that it isn't a dangerous thing. It's just, how are we going to manage it? And what kind of abuse are we going to be faced with?
Well, we've been speaking with Rose Miller. She's the president of Pinnacle Human Resources. Rose, thank you so much for your guidance and your time. Really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.